You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
AC 1170 AM, radio that listens to you. My name is Greg. You're listening to People Helping People. My co-host, Larry. Welcome to the show.
I thought you were going to forget there.
I would never
you
forget
almost
you.
Almost forgot.
I have. We also have our trusty producer of the show, Franco, behind the mic.
Morning.
The
hey, Franco. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon, morning. I don't know what it is.
And the person who I would like to say is just a little less Greg than me, because he's got one less G. He's sitting in on the show as he's been the past few weeks. Greg, hello, my friend.
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
Good to have you, man. So it's a full studio today.
Yep.
Exciting to be back, as always. Every Tuesday we do this show. If you're tuning in for the first time and you're wondering why you're hearing these beautiful voices, what we do every week is we like to bring different topics to the table, discuss all the different issues and challenges facing the community, and of course give a platform to those in the community trying to do wonderful things with nonprofits and public service, basically bringing everybody together and giving a loud megaphone to shout out to the whole Bay Area, all the different great things that are going on and how you can help and help one another. I think that's the best way to say it.
A big part of that.
Thus why People Helping People.
Yep.
We are the voice of the people.
Yep. We are the world.
I wouldn't go that far. I've always said you have a bit of an inflated ego, but now it's getting ridiculous.
See, I'm quick, though.
Yeah.
You see how I took that and used it?
You did.
Yeah.
We are the world.
That was going to be our theme.
And this is what I deal with every day, by the way. This guy thinks he's as big as the world. So later on in the show, before we get too far into our opening monologue, it's not a monologue, it's because there's several of us.
It is, pretty much. It's all you, and it's all about you.
Here we go. So what we're going to do is we're gonna visit with a good friend, a dear friend who's been on the show many times with us, in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
A friend named Merle, who is the
pronounced it correctly
of the Sankara Foundation. They have an event going on Friday night, the Shankar Asan Loy Show, which is at the Event Center in San Jose State. You're very familiar with that.
Yes, my alma mater.
Yeah, I saw Morrissey in that building. Was the same stage, right?
Yep, same building.
Great little venue.
Yes.
But the show is, it's very close to being sold out. There are very few tickets available. Mm-hmm. I think after this interview, there will be none left.
Probably not.
So if you want to get a crack on it, I would say right now, if you go to giftofvision.org, tickets are available. I think, again, it's minimal, and I can't guarantee it because I know there are some people who have been looking for good seats. I'm not sure any of those are left. But whatever is left shouldn't be there very long. You all right there, Larry?
There's a reason for that.
What is that?
My gum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, get the gum out. But this show is going to be a big one, and I know a lot of people are very excited. And you know how I can measure how important a show is?
How?
The amount of people that come to me and ask me to get them tickets. I feel important when it happens, but then I start to realize that I don't have that much pull.
You don't.
I like to say I could help it out, but in this case, there aren't many tickets available.
And that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. And Larry, we've dealt, how many times have we had Merle on the show? It's got to be
on this show or?
On our show here, five, six?
Probably, yeah, at least four that I know of.
I know right before the end of the year banquet and when they were raising the millions last year.
You had him on the show when I wasn't here.
Oh, that's right. There was one where you were not here.
Right,
he was my co-host.
Right. I wished I could have been
finally
here
a peaceful
for
day in here.
Yeah.
Finally, a normal show. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Whatever.
What we're going to hope is, if those of you who are not aware, Merle has an amazing singing voice.
He does.
He's like the Desi Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does.
And he's going to belt it out, I'm sure, if we ask him to.
Today. It's got, yeah. We got to. That's tradition.
He would be here, but he's in Texas, I believe, doing some work. I know they have a show down there. He's trying to enhance that and trying to get the sales up. I don't think the other shows in the other markets are doing as well as here. So he's out doing his work.
Promoting it?
Selfless gentleman is what he is.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, the whole crew, the whole Sankara Eye Foundation crew.
Yeah.
Very good people, almost all volunteers. I also was in Seattle last week, and on, I believe it was last Wednesday, and I met those who are the head of Sankara's street team or ground force in Seattle.
All right.
And such nice people. It's no different than the crew here. They work very hard. They do it for the benefit of all these children, trying to get the gift of vision.
Right.
And you would not believe the amount of work and time these people put into this organization. And they have other jobs. I mean, this isn't all they do. They have full-time jobs, and this is a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah.
That's really the whole premise of the show, is to try and give these people who are doing all these great things an opportunity to talk about it.
Exactly.
Now, before we get into that, because we have about, 10 minutes before we talk to Merle, you've been battling. We've never discussed a topic on this show.
There's so many we haven't discussed.
But this one specifically, because I know several people that are dealing with it, asthma. Asthma is a massive issue.
It is. So over 17 million Americans are afflicted with it.
I remember when I was a kid I had several friends that were very, very asthmatic.
Yeah, I did too.
And to the point where they really couldn't play.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they had to stay off to the side.
Yeah.
Do you know what exactly is the problem? What is asthma? Can you explain that? I don't know.
Kind of. I mean, it's a restriction of your bronchial area of air passages, and they get restricted or constricted. And so what happens is there's inflammation that takes place and it slowly closes up. So in some severe cases, you can be getting less than 40% oxygen, 50% oxygen.
So difficulty breathing.
Very difficult.
Does it feel strained? Like almost like when you have a cold and your chest is congested?
It feels it's hard. It feels real tight. Like your chest, like you're working out and you're stretching your muscles in a way.
Oh, that's what it feels like, huh?
Kind of, yeah. And on the inside. And then and you have, like I was telling you earlier, a hard time trying to catch your breath, a full breath. You go, and you feel like
deep breath, right?
Yeah, you've achieved something. I mean, asthmatics feel like it's life. I mean, it changes your whole mood when you can catch your breath, because it's not when you're going through an episode. I'm going through an episode right now.
Right.
So I'm not having an attack.
And how long does an episode
It can vary from a day, 2 days, weeks, months, even
really
over a year.
And is there a way to resolve it? Is there a way to, do you take medication at that time?
Well, there are different ways to do it. So in the beginning, when you have an attack, the onslaught of an attack, they usually put you on a breathing treatment. I went to emergency care. I didn't tell you this, but I was there 3 times.
No kidding.
Last week.
I wouldn't be making fun of you if you were telling me all these things.
I want you to make fun of me.
Oh, okay.
That's what keeps me going.
Okay.
I can take it, you know.
I know. I just feel bad now. I feel a bit guilty.
No, don't feel bad.
But what did they help solve the problem?
Yeah, they gave me a shot of steroids. And they, of course, antibiotics is like everybody gets antibiotics, right? Gave me a shot of that. They gave me 2 breathing treatments. This is the first time.
Okay.
Because I couldn't breathe. I was really having a hard time. And then after that, I went to my regular doctor at Palo Alto Medical Center, and he put me on a steroid inhaler twice a day, 2 puffs, and another type of inhaler if you're feeling restricted, and pills for anxiety and sleep, because when you're on steroids, you can't sleep. So this is really a bummer. So they in the anxiety because you can't breathe. So it's a double. It does 2 things for you. Last week I was actually a little medicated.
When you were here?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew you were a little loopy.
Oh God, I was.
Wow.
Because I was really stressed.
You were a little out of it last week.
I was.
Now that I think about it.
How am I today, by the way?
You're fine.
Do you think so? Yeah. I'm never fine. If you say I'm fine, I'm really not all together at
really?
All.
Really?
No, I'm very unique.
Oh, well, that's...
Very off.
That's a given.
Very off.
I'm glad you're well enough to be here, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I do... It's not... It's another one of those things where you hear asthma... Some of us might not necessarily take it as serious as it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's certain things that get that sort of treatment, right? I mean, for example, diabetes. I think sometimes we just take for granted because so many people manage their diabetes, but it is very dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're not on the right we've had shows about diabetes.
We have. And you think they're well, too. I mean, for instance, I've had people, when they see me, they don't know. You see me every week.
Right.
So you know if I'm a little different or not.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't, when they see me, you know, they don't see me that often. They think I'm fine. But
right.
I'm really not.
Because you're always a little off. Therefore,
yeah.
we feel, you know, if you're off a little more than normal, it's typical of
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Even more off. You know,
yeah.
40, 50%.
But I didn't, no, I wasn't aware that the asthma was this much of an issue for you. But again, it's not something to be taken lightly.
Typically, it's not. A month ago, I was working without a respirator, and I was an idiot when I did that, and that's what triggered it.
I always encourage, if there's listeners that are hearing this and they have anything to impart about whatever we're talking about, feel free to chat with us, especially if you have information that might be able to help someone else. I always find that being the most difficult thing. Most of the great things that come out of my things I learn happen when other people impart their wisdom, and some with more experience than maybe we have with something. And that's where I learn. And then I like to do my own research and whatnot. And right now I know I'm going to be driven to find out more about it.
Yeah. It's pretty serious. I mean, it's over 17 million Americans, like I said earlier. It's quite a few people.
And
it's a very common
different
thing.
Levels of severity as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause I'm on the low side. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But I wasn't at one time. I was very chronically ill with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now, my one other question is when it comes to the breathing aspect of it, because I know sometimes I'll get these, I think I said this on the air recently, where I get sort of like anxiety, right? Where you have a lot of things on your mind subconsciously, and you get into the habit of overanalyzing things, and then subconsciously your chest starts to tighten up and you're like, oh my God, did I pay the bill? Did I do this? And I get that feeling of anxiety. I sometimes feel that what you described is what asthma could be, that tightening. Now, I don't know if it's that. Maybe it's just me making it up in my brain.
Well, it's probably a minor anxiety.
Is it comparable, though, to that?
Yeah, because asthmatics typically when they have like an attack or an episode come on, they get very anxious. That's why they put you on something that's going to calm you down.
Right.
Because you're when you get anxious, then you start to hyperventilate.
Yeah.
And that makes it even worse.
Makes it harder to breathe.
Totally.
Because your breathing becomes shorter and more intense.
Yeah, so you can hear it in my voice, you know, because you know.
It shakes, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of rattly.
Yeah. You sound like you have a little bit of a cold.
No cold. No cold.
Again, it's another one of those things where you can't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing is to make sure you're getting regular checkups with your doctor. Can these things come along late in the game? Can it happen?
Oh, I got it late in the game.
So okay,
I got it when I was in my 30s.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
It's not something you're born with.
Yes, you can be born with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different type.
Okay.
But mine was brought on by the environment.
Okay.
Much.
Well, that's very interesting. I think that's something we should revisit for sure.
Yeah.
Glad we had the opportunity to at least bring it to the table, but something we should probably delve deeper into, and we'll find someone. Franco, thank you for jumping ahead there and seeing the timing, because that's why you keep us on track.
Yeah, you're very welcome, guys.
He gets carried away, doesn't he? I mean, he talks a lot.
Unbelievable.
No, and the only reason I say anything is because he lets me.
There's somebody more important that wants to talk right now. Let's just
on
say,
the phone?
One thing we actually agree on in life is that one of our favorite guests we've had on the show many times from the Sankara Eye Foundation, one of the finest gentlemen I've ever known. It's a pleasure to have him back on the show. Merle, my friend, how are you?
Hey, Merle.
Oh, wonderful, Greg and Larry. Nice to be back with both of you.
Nice to have you.
You're all the way in Texas today. You're not in the Bay Area with us.
Yes, I just had lunch with my friend at a popular Texas restaurant called Saravana Bhavan.
Was it delicious?
I wanted to eat that Indian dosa.
Oh.
So I came here.
You know what? Now that you've said it, I think I'm going to have a dosa for lunch today. It's probably, possibly my favorite thing to eat right now. So good. We could talk about food, of course, but instead we'll talk. We have a great event coming up on Friday night at the Event Center at San Jose State, Marley. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Thanks to a lot of hard work by our volunteers and amazing support by KLOK and all of you, that show is heading towards a sold-out show, Greg. We're already almost at 3,900. Another three, maybe another 400 tickets to go, 400 to 500. We should be sold out. Good. So that'll be a good jump start to the rest of the country for us. We are doing a five-city show. And so this San Jose big success will really boost the other areas. We are doing, after that, we are going to Seattle, then Dallas. I'm sitting in Dallas to kind of gather all the people, create a lot of energy here. And we are getting some good sponsorships in Dallas. And we have built a good team here. Just my presence, the old guys, 60-year-old guy sitting here puts a lot of pressure on volunteer. Hey, Murli is sitting there. Let's arrange for some meeting. So volunteers really feel the pressure here, or our pleasure, whatever you call it.
Pressure.
So they are arranging for a meeting every day. This evening also, I'm meeting with a potential sponsor, and a lot of fun, Larry and Jake. I'm really enjoying it here.
Well, I don't know if I believe that you're going to be – you might be putting pressure just by being there, but I don't think you're the type of person that's going to get too pushy. I just think you have a way of inspiring people to want to do more.
And, or you can call it intimidation.
Maybe. Maybe it is.
A good type of intimidation.
He's quiet, but he carries a big stick.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Merle, I wanted to say I got to spend some time with your team in Seattle last week. And what good people you have working up there. They work hard. I got to have a long conversation and spend time just asking some questions and how they're building their team in Seattle, much like you've built it here in the Bay Area and now in Dallas. Are you finding it to be a little more difficult to get the response for the shows in these other markets the way we've done and the way you've done here?
Seattle is, San Jose is our headquarters, Greg, with your KLOK solid presence and our hundreds of volunteers. They do so many things. Mm-hmm. So happy. I'm just looking at them, just overwhelming to me, you know. These guys, none of these guys are paid. How much effort they're putting into this whole thing, that's really almost, it touches my heart. They do these road shows, go to various shops, put up a music system, dance, sing, attract people. This Nextdoor, somebody came up with the idea of using the software Nextdoor. And then this Duff Smash, and so many putting posters here, there, sending mails to donors, calling donors. What an amazing team. Basically, the advantage we have is in San Jose is a huge volunteer team. Mm. So that's why it's heading towards a houseful show. And New Jersey, because of the huge Indian population, mm-hmm. it's doing amazingly well, Greg. It's also heading towards a sold-out show. And Seattle may not get sold out, but it surely makes some money. Austin and Dallas are also tough children.
Hmm. Well, tough children. I was going to say, all of the good things that are going on in New Jersey, I will take full credit for, because that's where I'm from. Of course, I'd like to believe I have all the effects
on that area. Yeah, well, they're good now because you're gone.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be taking any credit. But I'm glad to hear all that. And like you said, Merle, it's a process. You know, it takes a little time.
A little time.
And we'll get it all there. I would like to ask, were you going to ask something, Larry?
No, I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay. Happens. Yeah. I was going to say, Merle, can you tell us a little bit about we talk about the show, but where the cause is what's most important, obviously.
Yes.
Where's the money going? Why are you doing this? I know we're being repetitive, but it's important.
Yes. Basically, Greg, as you know, we are running 8 hospitals in India, completed more than 1.4 million free eye surgeries. And then the 9th hospital, we have acquired land with the help of the government at a subsidized price in the place called Jaipur, which is a beautiful state full of palaces. And we're also trying to acquire land in Hyderabad and Indore, Madhya Pradesh, which are big states. Mm-hmm. So we hope to start the construction of all these 3 new projects this year. And that is why we are kind of, basically the Dallas, when we do these events, is not only to make money, Greg and Larry, is to basically raise awareness, build a team. Because Sankara's strength is retail, the way I call it, retail business, where we have 60,000 donors giving us $30, $100, $1,000. And so that's what we know how to do, and we've done well in California. We're trying to replicate the success the way in India they're trying to replicate our hospital all over the country. We are replicate our initiative. We are replicating our initiative in Dallas, Austin, New Jersey. The primary purpose is long-term goal. Build a nice team of volunteers who can do more and more such initiatives in the future. So the whole series, five-city series, even if it is break-even, we'll be happy, Greg and Larry, because this has a much, much bigger value than just the money from this event. And recently, I want to again inform you that we got the Charity Navigator 4-star rating one more time for commitment to accountability, transparency, and governance, and also keeping the overheads low. So as always, I tell our people, you can close your eyes and donate, and we'll open more eyes.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
When and I was lucky enough to meet some of the doctors. Remember when you brought them in? I believe it was late last year.
You see the sincerity and passion, no, Greg?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like you said, I mean, as with your volunteers in Seattle, so many of these volunteers are putting all this time in, and they have regular jobs and families.
Yes.
So this is like a second job for most of them.
Second job.
Including you.
So much passion, Greg. So much passion and ownership. That's why I'm able to be away from San Jose for such a big event. I literally feel that I'm not needed. And that is, I would say, is our success. When the people who founded, they felt not needed in a city, if the team can run it without them, that is our success. Don't you think so, Greg?
Oh, I absolutely think that. You always have a way with words, Merle.
Always, yeah. You know, Merle, I was going to ask you a question. So as everybody out there knows, I think it was yesterday. It was the 25th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the first year anniversary of the Nepal earthquake.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
So what do we have going on over in Nepal?
Oh, Nepal. Oh, okay. Actually, the Indian government under the Prime Minister Modi's leadership has done a very good job in helping the Nepal victims. And right now, I'm not on top of what is happening there. Uh-huh. But I was also very happy that as the people and government, we were able to help the Nepal victims. And then we did get a good name. Nepal has always torn between India and China on each side.
Right.
So this was a big win for India,
where
we went out of the way to really help them.
Great.
And I know many, many people raise funds also for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever people are suffering, struggling, we have to help Larry and Greg. It doesn't matter who they are. Actually, our wish, many of us here, that we would like to do eye camps in the U.S. also. There are many poor people. And I know that we cannot do intrusive procedure in this country because of all the liabilities and all that, but at least screening patients, giving them more information. Okay, you may need a cataract surgery, you may have this problem. So at least alerting them to any pending eye problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a big thing. Really, Dr. Ramani, they're also interested in that. We just have to figure out how to take up that initiative.
Yeah, and you know, Merle, I also, when we talk about the eye surgeries and
mm-hmm.
I've had some people ask me when I spread the word and talk about the Sankara Eye Foundation. Anybody, just let me say this first. Anyone who's listening right now wants more information, you can always go to the website giftofvision.org. That's where you can buy tickets. You can find out more. You can donate there, or 866 Sankara, S-A-N-K-A-R-A. I just want to say that as much as possible. But I do have people that will ask me specifically, what kind of, how can eyesight be restored in a child or in any human being? What you guys are doing specifically is cataract. Is there any other types of procedures that are happening? Obviously, they haven't come up with a cure necessarily for blindness.
Yes.
It's unnecessary blindness.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're not. Go ahead.
And basically, many children, see, cataract, if untreated, I'm not a medical doctor, but I think if it is untreated, you may go blind. So even a cataract has to be spotted on time. And so that is what we are doing primarily in the rural part of the country. Many of them don't even know that a simple cataract surgery can cure them. So we are raising awareness. We are giving them confidence. You can confidently come to our hospital. We'll take care of you well, like our family. And many children, due to various reasons, I don't know, Dr. Ramani cites one particular example, like a consanguineous marriages where people marry among relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So their children could have, when they were born, they could have cataract.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our doctors specializes in pediatric ophthalmology, and he's very good at it. So we also do proactive eye screening. See, in this country, we have all this VSP program. We don't have well-developed screening programs in India.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we are trying to do, we want to expand upon it also, is called a Rainbow Program, where we go to proactively go to schools nearby our hospital and teach the teachers to spot eye problems in children. Some person may be sitting in the front row, then suddenly he may start going to the last row. Even well-to-do average income families, they may not realize that the child may have a vision problem. What he may need is just eyeglasses. So we are doing that very proactively. And also, Greg, our doctors are, because of our self-sufficiency program, where we also cater to the paying patients to make the hospital self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have specialists in corneal transplant, where somebody, let's say, a street kid gets his eyes hurt due to firecrackers and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way right now to cure is to get a donated cornea and do a transplant. So we do that also. And our doctor, J.K. Reddy, is specialized in keratoplasty. The natural cornea may not work on everybody. So he has developed a process for artificial corneal transplant for dry eyes, which is what is called keratoplasty.
Right.
We know diabetes is very rampant in India. So we are also specializing in diabetic retinopathy. So anything, and cancer of the eye, our hospital in Bangalore specializing in oncology. So cancer of the eye. So whole variety of problems, we take care of it, Greg.
You know, I don't know if we've ever really talked about all those different. I knew the cataract surgery, and I knew there were some cases. We always say the unnecessarily blind or unnecessary blindness, but needlessly blind or whatever. But I never realized all those other things, like cancer, eye cancer, for example.
Yeah.
So they're really helping a wide range of eye issues.
Yes, 80% is, of course, cataract. But let's say somebody comes to our hospital with a different problem, we'll take care of them too.
Unbelievable.
What they're doing. Amazing, amazing work. And one thing I want to kind of reinforce here, Greg, today I wrote an article for our souvenir to be printed in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So I was just inspired by that. I want to kind of remind our volunteers and everybody that even though charity also should not give us ego. So I tell them one example from our philosopher, Swami Vivekananda, who says God or existence, whatever you call it, created these poor people, visually handicapped, blind, poor, everything. If morally and his theme is not there, you think God will let them loose? God will not take care of them. God will take care of them. Maybe somebody else will come. Somebody else will come. Some other team will come. So we should always be grounded and be thankful to God or existence for this great opportunity to improve ourselves, to make spiritual progress in life, and also contributing to the society. So that's why I keep telling myself and our volunteers, SCF is a highly respected charity, the largest eye care provider, but more than the beneficiaries, we are benefiting more. See, I'm exuding so much confidence, positivity. Even though I'm always a positive person, this work with Sankara Eye Foundation has made a big, big, big difference in my life.
Hmm.
So I want to be thankful for this opportunity, Greg and Larry.
Yeah, you're a very humble man. Always admired you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Merle. I know, not that we're done with you yet. I know there's one thing, there's a few things I still want to discuss. One is, I hate to put you on the spot, but I think at this point you've known me long enough, Merle G, that I expect that we get a little song, and possibly Just maybe a brief.
Yeah, you know you weren't going to leave the show without one. You know that.
I feel like it's
that ain't going
to
happen.
We dedicate it to our listeners and to the children you're helping.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Basically, this is a beautiful song. I already told you the meaning of this.
Okay.
Basically, you light many, many lamps from one light, and then you spread love and happiness in the world. That is what is life all about. Whenever you think of others, you're making progress spiritually, and that gives you more and more happiness. That is what this is about. So I will sing three,
please,
four lines.
Please do.
Yeah. Jyot se jyot jalate chalo. Jyot se jyot jalate chalo. Prem ki ganga bahate chalo. Raah mein aaye jo din dukhi. Raah mein aaye jo din dukhi. सबको गले से लगाते चलो प्रेम की गंगा बहाते चलो. That is what is life all about, Greg and Larry.
That's amazing. You know, I don't know if you know the reference here or if you understand this, but are you familiar with Frank Sinatra?
Yes.
I was saying before you got on the air, I said you are the Indian Frank Sinatra, the Desi Frank Sinatra. a true crooner, as they say. That was wonderful. I ask you to sing just because I know that a lot of that, you have a very a deep passion for singing and music, and I think a lot of what you do sing perfectly helps shed light on the cause, and I think it's always nice to hear you get. You seem like you really get into it, and I love hearing it. So I hope you don't mind that I ask you all the time.
No, it's a pleasure. Pleasure always talking to you. Mm-hmm. You almost are our volunteer. Not almost, you are the Sankara volunteer.
Thank you. I think you're being too kind. Let me ask you this question, Murali, because I think one of the very few stones we haven't turned. Especially in this conversation, but in general, what can we do beyond just buying tickets to the concert for Friday night? And we should mention that Friday night's a big show at the Event Center at San Jose State. But what else can we do throughout the year to be a part of what you guys are doing at the Sankara Eye Foundation? How can we help?
Yeah, basically, there can be a lot of initiatives, Greg. We tell new people, you come up with any initiative. For example, some children, Indian, Chinese, Americans, they all joined together. They basically did tuition for the junior kids. And they raised money and donated to Sankara for at least 100 free eye surgeries. So, and I took a photograph with them in front of our office. I even posted it on Facebook. That is what really moves me, you know. Such initiative, anything. Whatever you can do, whatever initiative, start a chapter in a college, university. We have the Save-a-thon coming up, walk-a-thon with all the so many charities, not only Indian. We are joining together, walking for service. So come and join us at the Save-a-thon. You can find more information at saveathon.org. And then any initiative in a school, in a college, you want to do your own fundraiser or just to talk to our people, whatever you can do. There are unlimited possibilities. Many, many volunteers go to many events. Keep a tabletop, stand there with our brochure, banner. And another area we are not good at is foundation. If you are good at grant writing and all that, we would like you to join us. So talking to donors, donor care is an area we want to really do a good job this year. So unlimited possibilities, Greg.
That's great.
Then we give the freedom to people. See, even children, unless you let them lose, they're not going to develop. I tell our volunteers, don't worry about making mistakes as long as it's not a costly one. Keep trying, and next time don't make the same mistake, because if you're not going to try, we're not going to learn.
That's true.
Yeah. That's very true.
If you never step out there, you're never going to learn.
Yes.
And
yes,
we make mistakes all the time, or at least Greg does in the studio. But he does them on air. It's a lot bigger.
I'm very imperfect. I acknowledge that. Thank you.
I see the love between you two.
Oh. You only knew, Murali. You only knew. Go ahead, Larry. Do you have any questions? I'm asking Larry this question, by the way.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to make sure that we, you know, put him on the spot. As usual with most of our guests, we like to, before we end the program, end it with a thought that you can leave the listeners with. But whenever that comes up.
Well, yeah, it's Tell him.
What?
You go right ahead,
Larry.
Did. All right, go ahead, Murley. The pressure's on you now.
You want me to leave people with a thought?
Yes.
Oh, always. Are you kidding?
I apologize for him.
One of the underlying principles of Shankara is there is really no limitation in the world, Larry and Greg. So whatever we think, that's what we are. So right in the beginning, when we set a big vision 2020 by 2020, not many people believed it rightfully because we were not much experience. But we boldly set a big vision 2020 by 2020. And then now we have made a great progress thanks to all your support, the largest free eye care provider. So we are an example of thinking big. So my thought is for everybody, realize your full potential. You don't accept any limitations. Whatever you want to pursue that in life. And then if you enjoy something that you're doing, there's no limit to what you can achieve. That is my thought.
Perfect.
Very good.
Since you brought up the 2020 by 2020, can you give us an update on that? How are we doing? Well, are we going to make it?
No, it is a challenge. Our Indian side is surely feeling the pressure. They are feeling the burnout. So we are going in July to explore possibilities, whatever it is. So the next four hospitals, they are surely committed, which is going to be Jaipur, Rajasthan, Indore, Madhya Pradesh, Hyderabad, and then also Bombay. One big donor like Warren Buffett is donating a complete building to us.
Wow.
And
wow.
Government has approved the conversion of that to an eye hospital. Mm-hmm. And this donor, Jhunjhunwala Foundation, is going to also fund half of the conversion and half of the recurring cost. After these four hospitals, what next? This is what is a big challenge to us. Whether we go forward with the same methodology or can we partner with other hospitals, kind of a partnership. So all those things we need to discuss. So our board is going to India in July and we'll come back. It's not easy. We will surely not have 20 hospitals by 2020. That's our goal. I'm hoping that we'll have at least 15 hospitals by 2020. But we're not going to stop there, Greg.
It's okay to have lofty goals. It's okay to set high goals and high expectations. Yes. It's hard to get there sometimes.
Mm. Yes, yes.
But you have to set them high, right? And the other
we have to set them high.
The other thing about that as well is when you mentioned your team gets burned out. That's why we need help. That's why anyone we can partner with to help reach that goal.
Correct.
And then we can join forces with someone else, then we'll do that, whatever it takes to get there, correct?
Exactly. We are open to any partnership, good partnership. We're also committed to eradicating curable blindness. So that's a very much open area now.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for that update. And I also wanted to make a mention that with the 20 by 2020, this year we'll have hospitals and we're going to be focusing on that in the second half of the year. Do you want to give any information now about that before we say goodbye?
Yeah. Basically, we have raised last year, thanks to, again, all your support, we raised $1 million each for Indore and Hyderabad.
Unbelievable.
So we have a total of $2 million for this project. But we still need $2 or $3 million more, depending on whether our Indian partner, another partner, can give their $1 million support for each hospital. So we'll be running these two projects with full speed this year so that we'll finish fundraising for these two projects. Next year, we'll take up Mumbai, Bombay, and then most probably Bihar. We are working with Bihar Foundation, who are very keen to go to Bihar, and we are also interested. So most probably, we'll take up that project full speed next year.
Okay.
You seem like such a positive guy. In fact, I know you are. But do you ever get discouraged?
I do because I always feel, Larry, if India is ready to run fast, our partner in India, there is no limit to what we can raise. But we need to put the products in front of the donors. You cannot just go to donors and tell them, give me money. They're not good. They'll ask you, what is it for? Give me 3 or 4 solid projects. Okay, this needs $5 million, that needs $5 million. This needs $4 million. Then we can go to the donors, find new donors. We can raise them. There's a lot of wealth in Silicon Valley, a lot of wealth out there.
Yeah,
we can easily raise the money. But sometimes it concerns me that our partner in India is not able to go as fast as we want them to be. That's my frustration.
All right. Well, it's good to know you're human just like the rest of us.
We are.
Because I feel like it's impossible for you to not be positive all the time. But I guess we all have our moments.
Accept the reality and do whatever you can. No?
That's all you can. That's do great your point. Best. Always do your best.
So the show is Friday night, April 29th, the Event Center at San Jose State University, Shankar Asanloy. Yes. And have you ever seen them perform?
Oh, no, not directly in front like this, but I know many of their songs which I love singing.
Oh, so many
very
good songs.
Very difficult to sing Shankar's song because he's got a very high-pitched voice. I cannot sing at that pitch, but I love Hindi songs, Tamil songs. Very, very, very powerful singer.
Yeah, and I know he's the music very popular.
Yeah, very popular. And there are tickets still available. You can buy, and you're going to have fun at this event.
That's right. Giftofvision.org. You can actually email concert@giftofvision.org, 866 Sankara. But I encourage you to always visit the website at least once every week or so just to see what's going on. Giftofvision.org. Merle G, my friend, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Merle.
Sure. My pleasure, Greg and Larry. Thanks for the opportunity.
And we will have you again, I'm sure, very
soon.
Have
him back. We got to have him physically in the studio.
In
that
studio,
would be fun.
Yeah. When you're back in town, Merle, we'll get that set up, okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you again, my friend. Have a great day.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Always a pleasure to have Merle on the show. It's funny because I always say when it comes to dealing with people that work in nonprofits and people that donate their time, I always feel a bit insecure. Because I feel that I'm not doing enough in my life. I don't know if you guys get that same. Like when you ever meet somebody who gives so much selflessly and that they aren't expecting anything in return, that it makes you feel inferior. Do you guys get that way? That you feel guilty, like I'm not doing enough to help the world? Obviously, you guys
are
very.
What do you think, Franco?
I don't know. I mean, when it comes to any sort of organization, I mean, I don't expect anything in return. I just want to give as much as possible to show my appreciation. And then if they want to say, oh, we want to give this back to you, I'm like, nah, it's okay. I mean, I want to show my appreciation. I don't expect anything in return. But that's just me.
Do you follow me? Do you?
No, I totally follow you. And what I've learned is that, I mean, it's an individual thing. So we're all made differently. So we're not, our heads are not all in the same place.
Right.
So I accept that. And I just do, I mean, there are many people that go out there and do great things, you know, for whatever reason they're able to do it more than what I could. But I do my best. It might not be very much, and it's not.
Well, that's really all anybody can ask for, right? Yeah. You do what you can do.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the time or the resources.
I mean, people, you know, they tell me, you know, what's your hobby or that, and I'll tell them, I work on a radio show with a buddy of mine, and then I tell them what it's all about, and they say, wow. He says, you know, thank God for people like you. And I says, well, you know what? I get blessed so much more by doing it. You know, it's just like, it's not a sacrifice because they think it's a sacrifice.
Right.
In some ways, I guess you could call it that. But to me, it never has been. So it's not a whole lot in the scheme of things, but it's something. So that's what we always want people to do. You know, I mean, you don't have to go out there and change the world by yourself.
I think when I my position on this comes from when we deal with, we've had some guests on the show that do so much, right? And they volunteer their time and their life to a good cause. And sometimes the cause can be frustrating. Sometimes it can yield very little results. Sometimes it's overwhelming the amount of support that they get. Yeah. But then you meet like children or young kids that are taking initiatives in high school.
And we have.
And we've had quite a few.
Yeah,
and you see these kids trying to make a difference at 15 years old. And at 15 years old, all I cared about was what I was eating for lunch, where I was playing ball after school, and which friend, you know, making sure my homework got in on time. I was so concerned with these, you know, recreational things. I would never have thought I need to donate my time and help a great cause.
No.
And it blows my mind sometimes.
We wouldn't have back then, though. You know,
well,
when
some
you
people
think
do.
About it.
Some people, obviously.
You know, some.
Yeah.
But, you know, now the focus is so much more on outreach programs than has ever been in our history, you know, probably because of the internet in large part. But a lot of, you know, back when we were growing up as kids and stuff like that, we didn't have the things that are going on in the world today.
That's true.
That we did.
I do think you mentioned something there about the the internet, right?
Yeah.
So it's easier than ever for us to get information. Matter of fact, I think it's so funny how, I'm not sure if Franco or Greg can relate to this, but I remember there was a time when if you needed information, you had to go to an encyclopedia.
Or a phone book.
Or a phone book, yeah. But yeah, even just getting, like, finding out about, say, asthma.
It wasn't that long ago.
It's not like I could just pull my phone up and say, type in asthma and find out everything there is to know. Mm-hmm. I had to go to a library. Or I had to, if I was lucky enough to have encyclopedias. Were those days?
I remember those days.
You
like,
do?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because it was sort of like that in the 90s. But I think in the 2000s, it really took off. Because mm-hmm. I remember back in the day where you had to go to the library, local library, to get a book for like a book report or an essay or something. And of course, they would be all out of books. So you have to try and go to various libraries. Now you can just find it online. As simple as that.
Anything you need. Do you recall those times, Greg? Or you remember when there was pre-internet?
I remember those times a lot.
You do? Okay.
Just, like, looking up new words in the dictionary and just
what a novel
definition.
Idea. A dictionary. Now I just use WordWeb. I have an app on my phone. I could type it in. I find out somebody says a word.
I talk to Siri. I just ask Siri. I say, what's this? Or spell this, and then it comes up with a definition.
Artificial intelligence, man.
Not really.
It's all that. Well, Siri isn't real. Larry thinks Siri is his good friend, is hiding in his phone. Actually, Siri is always on speaker. Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie, right? Her?
No.
There's a movie called Her, where the guy falls in love with his Siri, if you will.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's
loosely
based on your life.
But
there's the internet is a wonderful thing, and this is, you know, it kind of segues into what we're talking about, that if you are one of those people like myself that feel sometimes like you could be doing more, it doesn't take a lot. That one little gesture could go a very long way. And being that you just have to sit in front of your computer, find a cause that's very close to your heart. It could be childhood cancer. It could be juvenile diabetes. It could be hurricane victims or earthquake victims. You could donate very easily. You just got to do some research and make sure who you're donating to are credible. And that there's, you know, the money is going to the right people, because there are many out there that take advantage of kindness, sadly.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you look sometimes, I couldn't believe, and I don't want to say the organization on the air because I'm not here to really to cripple any cause. But there's a very, very prominent breast cancer cause that all of us have heard about that has been going on for years. And, you know, you see the pink ribbons all the time in certain months of the year, breast cancer awareness and such. There's one company or nonprofit, so to speak, that actually raises a ton of money every year. And when I looked into more information about this particular organization, I found out that more than 70% of the money that's donated goes to promotion, PR, staff. So technically, less than 30% goes to the actual families that are battling breast cancer. When I found that out, it was very discouraging, when I especially saw how much money is being raised, which is a great thing. But when you take $100 million and then that $100 million is now whittled down to $28 million to the actual families, and the rest is going to more support the cause itself and to talk about, that's a little disturbing to me. To me, I always look to see that more money is going to the cause itself and to the families and the victims than the actual organization. You know, I understand that sometimes money is needed to keep these things going.
Yeah.
I've seen it many times. But that percentage and that ratio should be heavy to one side.
You would think so. But you know what I would do in your case? Anyway, yeah. That's a very valid point. Is I would inquire about that. Because there seems to be a rather large discrepancy there.
There is.
But I would want to know why and see how
they claim where the money goes. And again, I'm not naming names. I mean, you could do this research yourself. Yeah. It's out there.
Yeah.
But they did explain, because they had to when they were called out on it, where the money goes. And it's not like they're pocketing it and going and buying new cars and clothes for the staff. It's just they have a massive staff raising awareness. And also they promote their own brand. So they're promoting this so-called brand and this organization, and a lot of money is spent on that marketing.
Okay.
As opposed to, because their claim is we're raising more money because of it, and therefore this percentage.
I would think that would be the first thing they'd say. But you said it's their own brand that they're also drawing.
Yes.
Okay, so and, there you go.
There's... And it's their own, and again, you don't have to look very far. But it's, again, so I'm not here to really blow any whistles. Right this isn't there. Like, you know, the news, or the Channel 4 news or whatever it is where they do the thing where they shame on you or whatever and they go and expose these people that are doing, you know, raising prices at the gas pump or something, you know, and doing these.
And then they expose them.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever see the movie Network?
I did, Network? Many years ago. Was it William Hurt or somebody? Who was in that? Somebody.
Boy, you're off.
Is that, no? Who is it?
You called me off. Said I was off.
Who was in it, Network? Somebody.
William Holden, Faye Dunaway, and the guy that was the nutcase.
This is in Larry's childhood,
Finch?
By the way. It was back in the 40s.
Something Finch. Okay. Something Finch, the guy that was the kind of like the nut.
Yeah.
The anchorman.
Peter Finch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Robert Duvall's in that, correct?
Yeah, Robert Duvall's in it, too.
Trying to see if I know.
Very cool movie. It's an all-star cast.
Yeah.
I just watched it yesterday. I got the DVD. It's an older one. But I just think about that sometimes. When I was watching the movie last night, I was thinking about this place and what I could do if I was like him.
That was a very, very popular flick and a good flick.
Yeah, it was very. When you think about it, though, there's a lot of truth in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of truth in that. So I had a really good play. You got snuffed at the end.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave it away.
Well, you know, it's not on. It wasn't in the release, though. It was on the DVD, but it wasn't in the movie when I saw the movie.
Interesting.
He didn't get killed at the end.
Okay, well then.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
I guess that if you haven't seen it to this point, you're probably never going to see it. But there's something to be said. I do think you have to do your research. And we talk about a lot of things on the show. And a lot of times we bring in guests based on recommendation or other people.
Yeah.
Also people that reach out to us. And we try to do all of the legwork in determining the credibility of a lot of these sources, because we do not want to put somebody on the air who might be running a shoddy organization.
Yeah.
We try to do all our work, but you have to do your research. There's no question. There's a lot of people out there trying to take advantage of others. Unfortunately, this is just the world we live in. You know,
there are some
thieves out there.
And the other thing is that it's not, you know, when you hear us on the show, it's not what we know. So we're not talking about our knowledge about what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the experts in there to explain that because we really don't know that much about it. Enough to hurt us. They're the ones that are the professionals, not us.
Well, we're winding down. I want to say, first off, thanks to Merle of the Sankara Eye Foundation. I want to also mention to go to giftofvision.org. Get your tickets for the show on Friday night. Last thoughts before we leave. Anything you want to bring to the table, Franco, before we get out of here?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I really enjoyed, having Murley on the show. And, you know, he did mention about the Nepal earthquake. That's brought back a lot of, first impressions when that happened. Because we have a dear friend of ours with the station, Shrinkala.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was in Nepal, India, when that happened.
Yeah.
At the time. Unbelievable. And everyone here at the company was... You know, they were worried, but thankfully she's okay. She's back with us. She's such a brilliant person.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, wasn't she sick? Didn't she?
She recently, she's had battling some issues, and she's obviously doing a lot better from what I understand.
Yeah, she's doing a lot better.
Oh, good.
You've spoken to her, Franco?
I haven't spoken to her in a while. I mean, Nate has given updates about me, about Shrinkala, but from what I've heard, she's doing fine.
Yeah, last I heard, she's sort of on the mend.
Yes.
She was, just fighting off some pains in her legs and such, but I know she's doing better.
Good.
Larry, how about you? I'm not going to put you on the spot, Greg, by the way. Okay. It's a pleasure having you here, man. I'll just say that to you, and thank you for being in the studio with us.
Thank you for letting me sit in.
It's a pleasure. So I'm not putting you on the spot.
He already did.
Larry, what about you?
He just did.
I just saw him say thank you. You didn't have to say much.
Don't worry about it. He's like this.
Yeah. Larry, what about you? Get off your high horse for a moment here, huh?
Well, I'd like to apologize because I haven't really been with it the last, actually, month.
You don't have to apologize.
Well, really, because I'm not usually this dingy. Last week, I was, whoa, but I'm on the mend.
Good.
So, I have something to say. So, if you, in my case, I'm struggling a little bit with asthma right now. It's a minor case.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many out there that suffer with it all the time, their whole lives, and literally have hardly any oxygen in their blood, in their lungs, pray for those people. You know, if you know anybody with asthma, come alongside if you can't help them. There's alternative ways you can treat it. So find out who they are and help them all you can.
I don't mean to give you the wrap-up.
Yeah, well, you just did.
All right, thanks so much, Larry, my co-host, Franco, our producer.
We're
early.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to everybody tuned in. We'll be back again next Tuesday at noon for another edition of People Helping People. Find out more at peoplehelpingpeopleradio.com. Thanks again, Desi 1170 AM, radio that listens to you.
Connect your business to the entire Bay Area with Desi 1170 AM.
For advertising, call 408-440-0800.